Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Won't he do it? Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN. He will on Eagle on the last day. Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamuke here about 30 seconds into the show and already going to ride this thing off of the rails. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. And Jhené, we went through this time at the beginning of the summer when we were all talking about sports media. You were obviously making big plans with everyone in the WNBA trying to figure out how to navigate this pandemic. And it felt like every day was news about something related to the virus. And then we hit into the summer and we had sports every day. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before, was the first day since sometime in July when we hadn't had a game in Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NFL, any of the leagues involved. And now it seems like we've come full circle all the way back to where every day we can't get away from some sort of COVID-related headline in the world of sports right now.
The question is, will these headlines derail the actual playing of a season or the outlook of a season? Right now, I think we're seeing, you know, following the MLB's model, which shouldn't tell you much based on what happened the last few days, people are going to still forge ahead, but it is tough to see the number of players that are now testing. But then, you know, you also see teams saying, hey, we have the procedures in place to isolate them and we're going to still forge ahead.
Yeah, Jhené, it's interesting. You mentioned derailing a season. Like, I think that's out at this point. Like, we've seen, and we had Adam Schefter on yesterday, and he made it very clear, the NFL, like it did all through the spring, like it did leading up to the draft, is going to plow straight ahead through this and believes it can get to the Super Bowl. We've watched college football in all its different forms come back and push through this, and hell, we just watched the other night as Justin Turner bulldozed his way back onto the field to go celebrate with his teammates. So I think, Jhené, we're past the point of wondering if a league is really going to stop because it doesn't seem anyone is. And just wondering now, I mean, how comfortable are people going to get in this environment trying to operate or even pretending that they care to operate in any way that, you know, resembling health and safety?
Well, I think what we will see along the way is not only just thinking that these big institutions, whether it's the MLB, the NBA, are going to come in and, you know, handle everything for your team. I think you're going to now see, based on what we watched with the Dodgers, situations where players are going to have to hold their own teammates accountable, because that is something you don't want to happen. To win a World Series and now everyone talk about you the same way that, you know, we saw a couple months when we just started, you know, this pause, I guess you can say, the last few months when it came to the pandemic with Rudy Gobert, like attributing a lot of it to one player. It's tough to see that happen. But at the same time, when it comes to Justin Turner and what we witnessed, he made a conscious choice to still be around despite the news he had. And so I guess seeing the aftermath of that, again, will be another learning lesson. And I think these teammates are going to now hold their teammates accountable, because, like, we don't want to end up with a situation where that is the headline when we actually are doing something positive like winning.
The aftermath of that is going to be interesting, and we want to hear from you. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. What should the punishment for Justin Turner look like? We've heard a lot of varying different opinions on this in the last couple of days. There's going to have to be something. Major League Baseball, you would think, has to send a message that, at the very least, if you remove, and this is always the tough part, all of the very polarized opinions that everyone holds about how we handle this virus and what's okay to not do and do at this point, because everyone seems to have just made their mind up and run with whatever they want. At the very least, Major League Baseball, from like a work standpoint, had a plan, had an agreed upon set of protocols that a player of theirs violated on the biggest stage possible, and something's got to happen. So 888-729-3776, what do you think should happen with Justin Turner? What should the punishment look like for Major League Baseball? Because, Jhené, we saw this pop up elsewhere in the NFL in the world of sports today. The Los Angeles Chargers guard Ryan Groy has tested positive for COVID-19, a source told our own Adam Schefter on Thursday. They said that he tested positive. They didn't specify who it was. The Chargers player was notified immediately, been put in a self-quarantine, but the team did not close their facility. It's going to remain open. The team's going to follow its normal schedule. At the same time that New York Giants offensive lineman Will Hernandez tested positive for COVID-19, he's going to be expected to place on the COVID reserve list later on today. So we've got two positive tests in the NFL that have popped up. Jhené, I believe I saw a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization pop up. So this just seems like now it might be the norm in sports outside of the bubble.
Yeah, it is. And I would just say the question is, what do you do to make sure that these players are going in with the mindset that we have to be as safe as possible? After watching the MLB, we're looking at the NFL right now. I would say overall, like going into a situation, we've talked about it. There are fines for people that miss tests. There are fines for those instances. And you also mentioned, Junior, like the idea of, you know, a process was in place for them to make it through a season, right? But processes are only as good as the people that uphold them. And so now we've seen on the greatest stage that the process was not in place for that moment, even that big stage. And the fact that I don't know if anyone predicted that someone would be removed from a current game, a current competition. But even with that being had, what questions could have been answered? It's like, all right, if you had a COVID team protocol person assigned to educate Justin Turner, that would have helped. Also, if you had a system in which everyone was informed of that person's status and had to acknowledge a personal acknowledgement, like, hey, we are all, you know, comfortable with him being out there. Like, there's so many things that, even though the big picture, it's like we're forging ahead, but the small things actually amount to what makes these situations either better or worse, manageable or not. And so, yeah, looking at the landscape of COVID and in sports right now, I'm just hoping that they continue to find, like, I expect Justin Turner to get fined. I expect the Dodgers organization probably to get fined. Yeah, because they sort of skirted around something that could have been prevented based on the rules that the MLB sort of instituted.
Janine Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We got a great guest list for today. Laura Rutledge, our ESPN NFL Live host, going to join us at 5:30. Also host of SEC Nation as we get ready for a big weekend in college football. Heather Dinich, our ESPN College Football Insider, at 6 o'clock. And Dwight Freeney, former Pro Bowl defensive end, pride of Bloomfield, Connecticut, going to join us at 6:30 Eastern on the show. And Janine, I think what's important about what you just said about the way they go about punishing this, and I think this is something I'm going to be interested to watch resonate with other leagues, because Major League Baseball finished. They yep. got to the finish line, but they have got to set this tone, because who knows what version of the world we're going to be dealing with when Major League Baseball tries to start a season again, tries to start them outside of a postseason bubble setting where they had been testing every day once they got to the postseason, not the every other regular season, not an elongated regular season, all these things that you're going to have to set a tone of what you demand going forward. And that's from the Players Association side and from the league side. And the same goes for all the other sports. We talked about basketball that might be getting ready to start up. I mean, they're talking about around December potentially not doing it inside a bubble. All these other leagues looking at this and saying, look at the way this got covered. Do we really want to risk our product being labeled and talked about like this?
Yeah, and I even think when it comes to the personnel involved, a lot of people were like, he was defiant when it came to Justin Turner. He wanted to get on the field regardless. And security guards, who's going to be the one that stops him when he is someone that just came up to be positive? You know, as much as you can find the player and the organization, the MLB needs to look intrinsically, and then other sports leagues based on that example, and sort of say, hey, if we do hire security guards, maybe we need to put a clause in there where it says, if you are supposed to detain someone with the virus, this is what you signed up for, and this is what we're paying you for, instead of sort of letting it be in the balance.
Well, I think also part of that is there's got to be accountability on the part of the player to some extent too. We all understand wanting to be out and celebrate, but like, you're a grown man who's part of this same Players Association that agreed on these protocols, and if you're going rogue, it's not someone else's job to just accept the risk of a paycheck to go out there and detain you. Like, yeah, maybe like you said, and I know you brought this up with the WNBA, where they took someone out of the arena they're playing in. Like, they drive you away so you don't have to deal with that, because there is that other part of that. Like, the whole crux of all this that people tend to disagree on wildly is the idea that it's not just your safety, it's the safety of other people around there whose situations you might not even know. Those are the kinds of things that get compromised. And so that's why we asked the question, 888-729-3776, what should happen in this case with Justin Turner? What should the punishment for Major League Baseball look like? You can also get at us on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Chenay and at Mike Golic Jr. Chenay and Golic Jr. reminding you, be a part of Chenay and Golic Jr. Nation on that Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you and treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. 888-SAY-ESPN. What should the punishment look like for Justin Turner? We'll get to that next. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae, I was just made aware of something that I feel like is particularly interesting to our show. I saw this courtesy of Puck Dummy. It is an NFL captain thickness chart. So you go through and you take someone's weight, divide it by their height in inches, and you get the thickness quotient, which I think we should start doing for other sports, right? Like, I feel like, man, the NFL, you can get some thickness numbers off the charts when you get down into the lines of scrimmage.
And we have a lot of, you know, I guess you can say variation within basketball. That is interesting.
That is true. I can say basketball is going to be really an interesting one here. Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinay Gwumike down with the thickness here on this show, as always, from 4 to 7 Eastern every Monday through Friday. But we also do, in addition to wanting to understand the better and more refined points of thickness in sports, also want to try and get to the bottom of what's going on in Major League Baseball. We know Justin Turner was out celebrating after being pulled from World Series Game 6, the one Dodgers ended up winning to take it all, being pulled after an inconclusive COVID test result was paired with a positive test result and still found his way out to celebrate. So we're trying to figure out what that punishment should look like. We wanted to ask you, 888-729-3776.
Your team got you down.
It's very sad and very frustrating.
We got you.
Because now is your time.
It is an absolute abomination.
Coming in hot with Chinay and Golick Jr.
Let's go.
Let's get after it. And let's start off with Deborah in California. Deborah, you're on Chinay and Golick Jr. What should the punishment look like for Justin Turner?
Well, my first reaction was one whole season. Now I'm just saying suspended for an extended amount of time.
An extended amount of time. And you know what, Chinay, I'll be interested because we heard one whole season. I think Max Kellerman, who walked it back on First Take today, said he was kind of in the heat of the moment when he brought that up. But we heard that floated at first. But you figure it's got to be something substantial enough to make it hurt in this situation, the way Major League Baseball never has with things like guys throwing at players.
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to be something that is super, super long term, like losing an entire year. But I do think it will be substantial, like around a month or so.
And I think it's got to hurt the Dodgers, too. I think this has got to be like a potential loss of a draft pick, fine money
yep.
here. It's an organization-wide failure in this instance. Let's go to Barry in Cincinnati. Barry, you're on Chinay and Golick Jr. What's the penalty look like for Justin Turner?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Chinay. You all are great, by the way.
Thank you.
I appreciate you all. I've been listening to ESPN Radio forever. Justin Turner was, quote-unquote, tagged earlier in the day, and it's MLB that messed up. It wasn't Turner messed up.
This is going to be interesting to look at, Chinay, because we talked about this a lot yesterday. How culpable is Major League Baseball for A? Because we're looking, Jeff Passan did a great job breaking this all down in an article that's up on ESPN.com. The testing had gone to daily in the playoffs. A source said that the results did typically arrive before games were delivered late somehow during the World Series. Like, that part of it does seem inexcusable from the Major League Baseball side.
I think there's guilt on both sides. Guilt in the sense that the MLB was not able to foresee this possibility. And then on the other side, Justin Turner, a grown man, an adult man, made a conscious decision after getting a positive test to go out there. So the MLB has to figure themselves out moving forward next season, and Justin Turner has to take accountability because he was the one that chose to go on the field, even though it was something that probably his teammates were complicit in as well.
Chinay and Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Let's head out to Matt in Texas. Matt, what should the suspension or penalty look like potentially for Justin Turner after Game 6?
Hey, really fast. First of all, love your guys' energy on the show. It's a great drive home. I say PED, 50 games.
Be interesting. You know what? And Chinay, this is always the difficult part about punishments in sports. We talk about this in the NFL all the time. When you get punishments for things off the field, things like domestic violence, where now you get comps like this where you can say, yeah, PEDs, similar amount of suspension. And for this one, operating in a pandemic, I don't think you'll get the same problems with the comparison, but that is a pretty easy cut and dry one to talk about the level of severity we'll see from baseball.
That is true, because while he was not playing, he still was putting his team at risk. And so I think the comp, it sort of fits, but at the same time, it's almost like everyone was co-signing it as well. So that's the hard part. It's sort of like, would you then penalize the entire team?
Yeah, well, like I said, because PEDs is sort of an interesting one. That tends to be an individual choice that only affects that individual as far as the change in their body, but can impact team success. This is another one, though, where an individual choice can have a potentially more, hurtful impact on everyone involved here. PEDs are at least helping your team perform better. This one involved could actually hurt people in the way it goes. And so wondering how they're going to treat this is going to show us a lot about what Major League Baseball thinks about this issue overall. Let's go to Will in Buffalo. Will, you're on Chené Angola Jr. What should the penalty look like for Justin Turner and the Dodgers?
Well, I think both parties should be held accountable in some respect. Obviously, for the Dodgers, you can't invalidate the success they've had in this postseason run. They definitely deserved it. But at least some kind of fine should be in order for the organization as a whole, because in some respects, they did break protocol by not either taking him out immediately or holding him tighter in isolation, I suppose. But absolutely, Turner should face some kind of repercussions, either in the form of a suspension of some percentage of whatever season gets played in this coming year, and some kind of fine as well.
That, you know what? And what you brought up there was the biggest difference, and we appreciate the call. Chené, the biggest difference between PEDs and this is he talked about this doesn't invalidate any of their season the way the Houston Astros cheating scandal, PEDs would in performance. This one is strictly going forward. You broke protocols in this way. It didn't aid you on the field in any way that's going to make that an issue, but it's an issue in what we all agreed to do and how we agreed to operate in this.
I think that was a pretty good one, right? Like, hit all the different sides of it. Yeah.
It is. You know what? Let's squeeze one more in here. Let's go to Sean in Kansas. Sean, you're on Chené Angola Jr. What should the penalty be for Justin Turner and the Dodgers?
He just won the World Series. Who cares what the penalty is? People will give a right arm or a right leg or something like that.
You know what, Chené? We talked about this the other day, though. That's the mentality that made this happen is, he won the World Series, and that's why I think baseball has to punish this severely, because if not, it looks like, we got to the finish line. We don't really care all that much. We'll sweep it under the rug, and you'll all forget in this instance, and it would show Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred from the top down, not taking this as seriously as maybe they had purported to.
I think this is where the comparison to real life sort of is highlighted in the sense that, we can have our own points of view and how we move and how we interact with people in this time in the middle of a pandemic. But we also have to hold accountable that our personal choices do have an effect on the person right next to us. And so there has to be accountability on Turner, possibly on, the Dodgers as a whole for being complicit in this. And then the MLB for allowing a situation where this can actually happen on the greatest stage.
Coming in Hot is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. We appreciate the calls. Always great hearing, because this is going to be a big-time step for Major League Baseball, and one that I hope they take seriously in this instance, because they're going to have every opportunity to sweep this under the rug, give it times, and Friday news dump this at some point along the way. But while we're sticking around in Major League Baseball, one of the most well-known managers in Major League history is returning to a team that he started with all the way back in 1979. We'll talk to one of our MLB insiders and find out, can you really go back home after everything that we've seen transpire here? We'll get to that next. It's Chené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chené Angola Jr., the podcast.
I will say Keyshawn is that ride or die type of teammate, Jr.
He is. He made no bones about it. Chené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and I don't think he's alone in a lot of that. And we've certainly heard opinions across the board that side with essentially what Keyshawn said there. As long as his teammates were okay with it, which we don't know. We don't know what the consensus was on the field in that instance, but we know Justin Turner was out on the field celebrating with his teammates as the Dodgers won the World Series, and things have certainly gotten more complicated since then. It'd help us sort out everything we've seen from a Major League Baseball season unlike any other. We're delighted to be joined now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by our very own ESPN MLB insider Tim Kirkjian with us now. And Tim, you got a great article on .com just kind of doing a recap of everything we saw from this season. But I'm curious for you. I mean, Tim, I don't know if anyone loves baseball more than you around this building. There's certainly a lot of great folks here. But you mentioned this is your first World Series since 1981 that you missed being at in person. And for you, how much did that affect the way you enjoy everything that we saw?
Well, it certainly wasn't the same, and I'm certainly not happy about the fact that I didn't go to the World Series this year, but the show we do, Baseball Tonight, took place in Bristol. I sat with two teammates, not to mention the entire Baseball Tonight crew, and Carl Ravitch and Mark Teixeira. It was great fun. We watched, and you know, it wasn't a whole lot different from watching the game on your TV and broadcasting from home as we did all year. So I certainly understand, but it's just another reminder there is no substitute for being at the ballpark, and you just can't see and learn things away from the park. Going to the park, you learn everything you need to know. Our beautiful box scores and anyone you talk to on the phone and any set of statistics, nothing matches being at the ballpark, and I missed it tremendously during the postseason.
I was at Dodger Stadium for my first MLB game about 2 years ago, Tim Kirchen, joining us here, our own ESPN MLB insider on Chene and Golic Jr., and that's where I fell in love, really, really, with the sport, so I get that energy, Tim. Now, speaking of the Dodgers, I'm in L.A., and this is sort of one of my side teams because I'm originally from Houston, but hey, they just won a title. So how do you square away the aftermath of Justin Turner and that entire situation for both Turner, the Dodgers, and possibly even the MLB?
Well, it's a very complicated situation and a very unfortunate situation. We should be celebrating one thing and one thing only, and that's the Dodgers winning for the first time in 32 years and going 56-22 this year and being the best team from beginning to end without question. Instead, we're talking about a pitching change that was made by the Rays, and now more than anything, we're talking about Justin Turner, I guess, as we should now. That was not a smart move for him to do that. That was not a responsible thing for him to do. He's a really smart guy. He's a really good guy, and I totally understand you want to be out there with your teammates. But when MLB says you're going to stay isolated and you're not leaving, and then you do, there are going to be repercussions for that, because the only way we got through this season and played a World Series was because everyone in uniform and everyone around the teams showed great discipline with the health and safety protocols. Otherwise, we would have never seen the Dodgers win the World Series, because the season would have ended because of COVID. So that's why it's so unfortunate that this is going to stain to some degree what should be a 100% celebration for the Dodgers.
Tim, in the interest of being able to, you know, enjoy this celebration whenever the Dodgers can piece together, especially back home, something celebration-wise for that team, how soon does Major League Baseball need to act when it comes to whatever punishment they're going to levy in this situation?
Yeah, it's a good question, Mike. It's just we don't have any precedent for this. We've never had a potential suspension for a COVID violation like this. So baseball is going to have to look at this very, very closely, as they are. An investigation is underway. And given that next year might, who knows, I hope not, but it might be COVID affected also, and therefore some rules are going to have to lay down that, you know, you're not going anywhere near anybody else if somebody says you are isolated and you're staying put. Somebody's going to have to punish Justin Turner. I don't know what that will be. I don't think it will be anything major, but somebody's got to make an example and say, if this happens next year, you're not leaving isolation. You're staying where you are.
Tim, I'm curious. Tim Kirchen with us, our ESPN MLB insider on Chene and Golic Jr. You mentioned next year, and I heard Buster Olney earlier today on Greeny say it's going to be a long, dark winter for Major League Baseball because of some of the things that happened this summer. What is the toughest part of the task ahead for Major League Baseball, the players' union, and a lot of the hangover from what we saw this summer?
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to the offseason, I must say, because the owners lost so much money, and I think they are legitimate losses. They lost so much money this year that they're just not going to open up their checkbooks for free agents. And a lot of free agents are getting to this point thinking, this is my chance. I waited 6 years for this, and I just don't think the money is going to be there like they thought it was going to be, because the owners' reluctance to spend, which I think we all have to understand, there's some logic to that. I mean, George Springer will get paid, and Trevor Bauer and JT Realmuto and DJ LeMahieu, but there are a lot of free agents out there who aren't going to get paid. We've seen options not picked up in the last couple days. I'm fearful that all the great collaboration that the union and the owners had in order to get this season going and keep it going, I'm afraid all that goodwill, or at least some of it, could go away in a fight over salaries in the off season.
Now, Tim, before we move from the World Series to today's news, the decision to remove Blake Snell, a lot of people have a lot of feelings about that. Are we overly emotional right now, or is there something that can make the numbers game better in baseball?
Well, I've never seen the reaction that I have seen to the Blake Snell removal. I mean, this is all people are talking about. I did a radio show yesterday. I got asked 5 questions. And not one of them was about the Dodgers winning the World Series. Every one of them was about Kevin Cash taking Blake Snell out of that game. And I didn't understand it at this time. I still don't understand it. But it's just another reminder that we've lost some of the feel for the game. Because anyone who saw that game, and we've stopped watching the games, by the way, anyone who was watching that game would have left Blake Snell in. He was their best chance to beat the Dodgers. We just have to let our great players be great once in a while instead of a computer saying he's got to come out after 73 pitches. That's the aftermath, and it's possible, since it was such a big stage and such a controversial and important move, that maybe this will get more and more people examining the way we run the game today from our young GMs and ask the question, are we doing it the right way?
Tim Kirkjian with us here on Chenay and Gold Jr., our ESPN MLB insider. Tim, we did have some news today in Major League Baseball. Hall of Famer Tony La Russa hired by the Chicago White Sox to be their manager. We haven't seen him managing a team since 2011, and already seeing a tweet from our own Jeff Passan saying the hiring of Tony La Russa has ruffled feathers in the White Sox organization. Do you think he can adjust with the times? I mean, he's got big personalities on that team, Tim. How's the mix in that locker room going to be like?
Well, it's a risky move. There's no way around that. He is going to be 50 to 55 years older than some of his players, and it is a young man's game. And back when Tony first started managing, and maybe when he stopped managing, when the manager told you something, you did it. It doesn't work that way anymore with our young players and most of our young people. They want to know, why do I have to do this? Tony will not take that very well. Having said that, he's a really smart guy. I still think he's got something left. He is a master psychologist. He is a great communicator with his players. He knows exactly which button to push to get the best out of each guy, but there are going to be some trying times for him where he's going to look around and say, wow, the game's changed an awful lot in these last 9-10 years. But he's been around the game. He knows what he's getting into, and being a baseball lifer, I think he's got a chance to be good at this.
Awesome stuff as always, Timmy. We appreciate the time and the insight. We will talk to you very soon.
Okay, thanks. See you.
Tim Kirkjian, our ESPN MLB insider. Today, I always feel terrible because, like Tim said, no one loves celebrating baseball, like pure true blue baseball, more than Tim. And baseball always finds a way to create some headline that we have to ask about instead.
Well, the silver lining is that at least we got a World Series champ. And now the problem is we also got controversy with it, but I'm glad we at least made it through the season.
We did. And Tim's article on ESPN.com, yeah, sort of, kind of. But and Tim's article on .com does a great job of kind of refreshing all of that. So be sure to check that out as we put a bow on Major League Baseball season as best we can. But coming up next, we got to try and figure out, Chenea's iconic song on this show is Sammy and the Jets.
Sammy and the Jets.
Coming up next, are we going to be singing a different tune next year when it comes to Sam Darnold?
Chenea
and Gold Jr. and ESPN Radio.
And the Jets.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You guys know what time it is. We brought it back, resurrected from the ashes like a phoenix. Book it soars yet again on these airwaves.
Staying alive.
Hot. I give you a take. You decide if you want to heat it up. Shout book it after it. Feel good. We get our Stephen A. on. You
can I'm so confused. It. Was that song... Hot. Was that the word hot? I thought it was just a ha.
I'm pretty sure it's just a noise.
Okay,
and you can book it. And it's just that easy, folks. Devin, you ready to host this thing?
I'm always ready for this. All right, first up, we've been talking about it today. Justin Turner should be punished for going back on the field after testing positive for COVID-19. Are you booking it?
Yeah, Chanel, I'm booking this one easy. If you're Major League Baseball,
you can book it.
Again, I look at this from the standpoint that, because I understand people are going to do the, you know, he should be able to celebrate thing and COVID's not real and all that stuff. Like, I know a bunch of you are out there. At the very least, this is an agreed upon set of rules between Major League Baseball and the Players Association. If you step out of line, something has to happen or you lose any semblance of control in that bond.
Yeah, you can book it from me as well, just because Justin Turner, he chose to disregard, you know, the agreed upon joint protocols between the MLB and the MLBPA. Also, his decision to leave isolation, even when, you know, at the security's behest, put other people at risk. This was a conscious decision. And so, yes, he should bear some form of accountability. I don't think a year, but some significant time.
All right, next up, Chanae, we'll start with you. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the clear best team in the NFC. Are you booking it?
I can't do all that, Chief. I can't do all that, boss.
No.
Just because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their offense is good and will, you know, only get better as they stay healthier, especially with Godwin being out. Oh my gosh, he's on my fantasy team as I almost literally dropped the mic. Their defense is good and, you know, it gave me 20 points speaking of my fantasy. Sorry, I always take these things personal. They're a very talented team, especially in the NFC, but it's a year where the Chiefs sort of are on cruise control. They can win from ahead. They can win from behind. They're super talented. They keep getting depth, you know, especially now at the running back position with Le'Veon Bell. So I can't do that yet. Sorry, boss.
So I'm going to go best in the NFC. You can book that. But
you
to Janae's point, I don't know. And I've said this. I don't know if I can put anyone yet above the Kansas City Chiefs because I understand what they're capable of in this. And it's all based on last year and the specter of that championship, the ability that we know is on that roster, and now you've added Le'Veon Bell. I think that holds true as well. So I will book best in the NFC.
You can book
agree.
It.
I would book that too, but not the NFL.
But not the NFL.
Well, that wasn't
damn that.
Moving on.
It was the question on the sheet.
He was a kid in school that was like, sorry, teacher, you're wrong. And she's like, oh,
so you
fail.
You think you're better than the game, Devin.
Moving on. Mitchell Trubisky will start another game for the Bears this season. Mike, are you booking it?
I'm not going to book it. But
damn
I will say
that
if the Bears keep giving up pressure or, you know, we mentioned Nick Foles was under duress, I believe, on 56% of his dropbacks in the second half of their game against the Rams. I understand that's the Rams, so I'm going to account for that, but they better hope that's not the case or they won't be able to keep Nick Foles on the field. But no, I think we're done seeing Mitchell Trubisky start under center. They made that decision, and now they're going to stick with Nick Foles and then have to address it for real this offseason.
I think if they were more like 3-3 than 5-2, especially being one of those 5-1 teams going into the game versus the Rams that, like, okay, like, let's see how good you guys are really relative to your record. If it was more even 500, then I'd probably say yes, because Nick Foles has thrown at least one interception per game. This currently is the longest active streak in the NFL. Mitch Trubisky actually put up 22 points per game as a starter and Foles 16 points per game. But hey, they still have a head start in winning, and I think that's why their chances to win will make sure that Nick Foles is still, you know, quarterback. So, yeah.
Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chanae Gwumike, we're playing Book It as Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
All
Devin.
Right, we're going rapid fire for these last two, because I want to get a fun one in. All right, first up, Sam Darnold will be wearing a different uniform in 2020. Mike, are you booking it?
I am booking that one. I think they're
you
in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. I think they're in it to win it, and I think when that happens, he's going to be somewhere else playing football next fall.
You can book it, even though I'm a little concerned, because anytime New York, and I'm talking about all sports, gets a high pick, they end up usually not getting it, but I'm hoping they are. My fingers crossed for you, New York.
All right, Chanae, last one. Twix ice cream bar is better than a Snickers ice cream bar. Are you booking that?
Plead the fifth. Never eaten or ate one
what?
Of those as ice
what?
Cream bars.
What?
So go ahead, Junior.
What? Never had either one. Actually, I can't say that. The whole reason I did this, I did an experiment yesterday because I'd never had the Twix ice cream bar. Shouts to the Snickers ice cream bar. It's very good. But Twix, the regular candy bar is better than the Snickers, and so is the ice cream version. Book that, Dev.
Give us more fun ones. Come on,
you can
Dev.
Book it.
Lock real in. Quick. We're going to do it in 30 seconds. Peanut butter cups only belong in their original form. Are you booking it?
Well, we are the show that says, you know, when you have chicken nuggets in their dinosaur shape, they taste better. So I feel like you have to be open-minded when it comes to peanut butter cups.
Thank you. Devin, no chance I'm booking that when it comes to Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, macaroni and cheese, or chicken nuggets. Everything is better with
shapes.
I feel
like our marriage, our work marriage showed out with my final answer.
It was big time. This is a big point of connection for us. But coming up next, a big point of controversy in the Big Ten. We'll get to that next. It's Shenangle Jr.